Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This chapter 12, verses 1 to 6, comes at the very end of the first section of the book of the prophet Isaiah. It comes after some very harsh and some very comforting words. This text is a psalm. A psalm in the kind of psalm structure like what we have in many places, a song of thanksgiving. If we look at the structure of the way the psalms work, sometimes there are psalms of praise, praise that God established the city of Zion as his own special home. Sometimes that God is the creator. Sometimes that God protects and redeems the city of Jerusalem, the city of Zion, where the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, comes from. Sometimes we have psalms of lament, psalms that complain about the troubles that come to the people of God. Sometimes within those psalms of lament, there is a psalm of confession. I did something wrong, God. I turned away from you, and the consequences are upon me, like the brother who runs away and then realizes he's lost everything. Sometimes it's a declaration of innocence. I didn't do anything wrong, and God, you promised you would take care of us. Why is it not happening now? The worst of those is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then there are some psalms of trust, like the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I'm not fixed yet, but the Lord is with me. Sometimes we have songs of salvation about what has already happened. Thank the good Lord for all of what he has done for me. And then sometimes we have just kind of general praise, praise of God who is the creator and Lord of all things, who has restored everything and now made it possible for people to be at peace once again. The children of Israel, and at the time particularly the prophet Isaiah, had turned away by and large from God. There were some, like Isaiah, who were still faithful. But there were many who had simply said, we're going off on our own, like the younger brother. We're going to do our own thing. They stayed home, but they rejected anything about God guiding and leading them. They made treaties with others. Hosea would say at about the same time that they worshiped other gods. Isaiah will have said that they were beating up on their fellow citizens because they could get away with it, and God was not pleased. God was not going to let that go on forever. Not everybody escapes from the wicked behavior of others, but God forgets none of it. And so as the leaders of the people were saying, we can do fine on our own and we don't need God here, finally the Lord said through Isaiah there would be a time when everything would be lost. Not soon, but it would happen at some point. And after all of that took place, then there would be a restoration. After God had dealt with the rebelliousness, after he had dealt with the rejection, after he had dealt with the sin. Not to talk about it the way the parable of the good Samaritan, or the two brothers, the prodigal son and the elder brother is, where he takes him back. Well, maybe it is like that. Because what has to happen in the heart of the father? He has to take the hit to bring his son back. He's the one who has to swallow after his son, who has hated him and gone off with wild living, comes back. He's the one who has to do what's necessary to take the hit and the hurt. Well, isn't that what happens to our Lord on Good Friday? We are not the people, we are not the ones, even like the elder brother, who have served God and deserve something from him. No one deserves anything. By our very nature, the very fact that we say we're in charge of our lives is the root sin. I'm my own God. I make up the rules for myself. I do what I want, and you just have to live with that. That works on earth sometimes. It does not work in the presence of God. Before him, every mouth is silent. No one has a single thing to say. And it's either, did you get touched by my grace and mercy and have your heart healed? Or did you decide that you're going to stand up on your own two feet and stay your own God? The prophet Isaiah didn't just have bad words to say, he had good words to say too. Not for everybody. There would be those who would be lost. King Ahaz in chapter 7 says, I don't need any help from God. I'll take care of it myself. And Isaiah responds and says, why are you wearying my God instead of our God? But just before this, in chapter 11, there is a promise of a restoration bigger than just Jerusalem, a restoration of the Garden of Eden relationship, which would include the fact that the animals would even get along. And children could play by snakes and not get bitten, not get poisoned. And animals would be at peace with each other. And all the rest of what would go on. And then there was talk about a restoration where the anger between the older brother and the younger brother, in that case, between Ephraim and Judah, not the brothers in the age sense, but just the brothers who didn't get along, that there would finally be peace for them too. But it would come by God's doing. It would come, as we know, by our Lord coming onto this earth and taking the hurt and the hit from both sides, from the arrogant and from the wicked, from the ones who said, I don't need help, and the ones who said, I'm going to do whatever I want to and I just don't care. Finally, every heart has to recognize we can't fix ourselves. And thus, Isaiah says, there will be a time when there will be celebration after God acts in the way he needs to act. And this bounces back and forth. This is a very interesting way. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, that you might comfort me. And so that first phrase is spoken to God himself. In that day, O Lord, I'm going to thank you for your grace and mercy and your forgiveness. It's what happens first for us, to recognize that our life is to thank God that he has taken us back in. We're not left with the idea from the prodigal son story that the younger brother got another half cut. The father says to his elder son, everything that I have is yours, but I'm not going to let your brother just completely be gone together. There are consequences that come. But for these now, after God was angry with them, after they had rejected him, and then those who would say, God, we have turned away from you, that there would be a day, even after the terrible consequences came, when there would be a future and a hope. And So then it goes on and says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation." Now we're not turned toward God, saying thank you for what you have done, as if we were this way, but now we turn out and we turn to others and we proclaim to other people, "Look what God has done for me. Look at what God has done for us." So we worship and we witness. First of all, we thank God that he has given us his salvation. We are at peace with him. This is not just a hope if somehow we straighten our life out. It is the free mercy of the Father, of God in the Old Testament, of the Father through the Son in the New Testament, to deal with his wrath, to take it into himself, and to say, "I'm going to hurt because of it, not you." And thus, we proclaim, God was angry, but now he has given us his salvation. What do you do then? You first of all say thank you, and then you tell everyone else all the problems that we had, they're gone. And God is the one who did it. It wasn't just by chance. So behold, God is my salvation. He got me out of trouble I couldn't get myself out of. I will trust and will not be afraid. And what do we hear from God at all times? Don't be afraid. Fear not. Because I'm the God of the universe, and I love you. And I have done for you what's necessary that you can live with me forever. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. So, then instruction. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, "Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted." And thus, to go out just to the people you know? No, to everyone you can find. Our God wants our life to be complicated, not simple. To have our life simple, it says, forget everybody else except those in our closest circle. But he says, "I've taken off of you all the burden of my wrath against you. You are free." And thus, as we lay that burden before him, there is room in our heart to carry the burden of others, to love people for whom he died, those who know it, those who don't, to love our God enough not to keep this story silent. We don't have to argue religion, but we are moved in our hearts to proclaim the great things that he has done, that finally, no matter what happens here, we are at peace with him through all eternity. And that can't be taken away by anyone. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. That's the same phrase that begins the song of the sea in Exodus 15. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. Now once again, God has acted gloriously. The majesty is his, not ours. The creator of the universe has done something that blasts so big that eternal death is gone. Here that God has gotten rid of every enemy that could possibly catch us and bring us down. Let this be known, be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion. And the new Zion is the church. Sing, rejoice, laetare. Why? Because great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Great in our midst is the triune God. And we wear his name. We wear his power. We wear his forgiveness. And we are urged and equipped and motivated to proclaim through our witnessing of our faith the joy that we have for all people that God himself is present and he has wrought salvation and we are his forever. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.